Good morning, everyone. So a juicy quote for a new book rollout, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has suddenly some explaining to do. The Democrats are closing ranks, and Republicans sense an issue. First, the specifics. A campaign book called Game Changer, being released this week, quotes the Democratic senator as saying Barack Obama could become the nation's first black president because of his light skin, and that he has no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. Reid apologized for his comments, and President Obama has accepted his apology. But we're wondering this morning if lots of people were having such conversations during the campaign as they were assessing Barack Obama's electability. Nevertheless, Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele believes there's a double standard on race. If a Republican had been caught talking about black electability,
this chairman and this president would be calling for his head. And they would be labeling every Republican in the country as a racist for saying exactly what this chairman has just said.
And Michael Steele said, after all, Senator Trent Lott's head rolled after these comments back in 2002 at a one-time pro-segregationist Strom Thurmond's 100th birthday party. Here's Trent Lott.
When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him. We're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems over all these years either.
Trent Lott resigned as Senate Minority Leader after that comment. Well, is there a double standard? Is the comparison even fair? And certainly a lot has happened since 2002. In the year since Barack Obama became president, is it easier or harder to talk openly about race in America? To help us figure out what are the implications of Senator Reid's words and other issues, I think a more general discussion we would hope to have, is Omar Wasso, who's a senior contributor to The Root, and Ta-Nehisi Coates, senior editor for The Atlantic and author of The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Omar, we talked to you a moment ago. Just what is your general reaction to this whole Reid affair? It seems to me like you're saying, never mind.
Well, I'm saying, actually, that there's good evidence that, one, that a lighter-skinned candidate is actually preferred by white voters, so Harry Reid is right on that count. Two, that there's a lot of research that suggests people have very negative reactions to black English, and so the fact that then Senator Obama could talk, you know, like white people, which is unsurprising given that he was raised by his white mother, is something that probably is advantageous in an election. And if we take Harry Reid's comment to mean that he's observing, he's not endorsing these facts, he's not saying these are, you know, good, harsh realities about American politics, then it's quite unremarkable. He's sort of stating what is, right, in a lot of ways obvious.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, aside from being opportunistic, why do you think the Republicans sense this is an issue?
I think it reflects a misunderstanding of race and why African Americans over the years have been cool to Republicans. I think the comparison to Trent Lott is instructive. I think this is like when you compare what Harry Reid said to Trent Lott, it's a very surface analysis. So you hear the word Negro, and you think, okay, so, you know, we know that black people don't particularly like to be called Negroes in this day and age, so they'll probably be insulted. But I think what's much more important is the actual content of what was said. Trent Lott was expressing pride and endorsing a candidate who's, you know, the majority of his platform was basically segregation. That's the problem. There's no way to restate that in the way Omar just restated, say, what Harry Reid said,
right,
to make it more acceptable. It's the actual content of what was said.
Well, then does that mean, Ta-Nehisi Coates, that we are possibly living positively in an era where discussions about race are more sophisticated, that simple code words aren't going to throw the alarm bells into high gear, that we can actually have discussions that we possibly weren't able to have comfortably even as recently as 2002?
I don't know, because I think had Harry Reid said that in 2002, I think the reaction among African Americans would have pretty much been the same. African Americans, in terms of things that have really gotten us upset, it's never really been code words. Nappy-headed hoe is not a code word. It's a racial insult. There's no way to spin that to make that
referring to the Don Imus scandal there.
Right, yeah. Right. Claiming that you're proud for supporting a segregationist candidate for president, that's not a code word. It's just what he said. There's no way to spin that to make that better or make that more honest. I mean, it was what he said.
But, Omar, wouldn't it be great if this particular scandal actually sparked a dialogue about why it's more acceptable to have a politician with lighter skin and why it's more acceptable to have a politician who, quote-unquote, sounds like a white person, or why we're even talking about a Negro dialect? Wouldn't that be great if that's what this was?
I think it would be great if we were talking more about, you know, the research that says there are these, there is sort of a color-struck quality to our country. But that's not really what's happening generally. I mean, what's the nature of the debate is Harry Reid has had to do a lot of mea culpas about something that is, it's really a mountain out of a molehill. And most of the discussion is much more of a he said kind of gotcha approach. And so I think you're right. There's the potential for a much richer discussion, but I don't think on the whole that's what I see happening.
Well, let's shoot for it
in the press.
Let's shoot for it. For instance, is it more likely? Are we more able to have a discussion of why, say, the two most famous African American politicians in the United States do not come from the slave narrative of American history, Barack Obama and Colin Powell? Are we able to have that discussion of how significant that is, either within the black community or among Americans at large? Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I don't know, but I think that reducing the popularity of Barack Obama, and I don't know that Colin Powell's a politician. I think some people would quibble over whether he was actually a politician. But leaving that aside, I think trying to understand their success strictly through the fact that their ancestors were not slaves here in America, I think it's kind of reductive. I'm not saying it doesn't play any role, but I think I would much more focus on the individual talent or lack of talent among those two people in particular. I think
Omar, your reaction?
Well, you know, one of the interesting debates that came up in the early part of the campaign was Barack black enough? And what I think people missed in those discussions was the long history in the black community of precisely these sorts of, kind of candidates of black leaders having different histories. So whether you're talking about W.E.B. Du Bois, who had Caribbean history, or Malcolm X, who had Caribbean heritage, or both Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington,
right,
who were both half white. I mean, this is nothing new in the black community. And so there's a kind of lack of context and a lack of history that people bring to these discussions when they sort of key in on Obama as being somehow different in this way, as opposed
right
to being part of a long tradition.
Well, maybe it's a broader discussion if we're having it this morning. Omar Washoe is contributor to The Root in Boston, Massachusetts, and Ta-Nehisi Coates is senior editor for The Atlantic, talking about the possible elephants in the room regarding race in America. Thanks to both of you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.